These six verses that we're looking at this morning come at the end of the Sermon on the Mount given by Jesus. And here, he's not introducing any more new teachings. What he is doing is calling for the proper response to what he's been saying. These verses are about application, about doing what he's been talking about. And he does this by comparing an obedient person with two types of non-obedient people. And those two types of people are the talkers, those who merely say they have faith, they talk a good Christian talk. And the other is hearers, those that merely have this intellectual knowledge of God's Word, just great information gatherers. So here Jesus is speaking about talkers and hearers who don't obey. And he's calling for the right response, which is obedience, a thorough, active, practical obedience, not just talking or just hearing. So let's look at this passage. First, verses 21 to 23, the sayers, the talkers, but not doers. Verse 21 to 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This passage is about what people will say to Jesus before Judgment Day and on Judgment Day. It's addressing people who think that what they say to the Lord, perhaps about the Lord, gains them entry into the kingdom of heaven and takes care of their sin. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord is a title given to Jesus. And after the resurrection, it's taken as referring to him as Lord God. But before the resurrection, it was often just used as another title for the word teacher or for sir. But whatever meaning the word Lord is given, salvation is not about saying the right name or the right title to Jesus. That's like going to an airport and somehow making it all the way to the plane without a ticket. And at the entrance of the plane, you meet the captain and you say, hi, captain, and think that is enough to get you on board. It's not going to happen. Or you have some legal trouble and you go to court, you come before the judge and say, hi, your honor, and think that is enough to take care of your troubles. And in a little different way, it's like someone constantly telling you they are a Christian. Yet you've spent quite a bit of time with them, enough to observe their life, and you notice there's no evidence of them being a Christian other than them telling you that they are. So calling Jesus teacher, or calling him a God title, or saying things to Jesus or about Jesus on its own is not giving you right standing before the holy God. Obedience is a requirement for entry into God's family. That's what verse 21 says. The one who does the will of my Father. You know, you can talk all you want. You can brag as much as you want. Your words must be accompanied by doing the will of God. Jesus presses this even further in verse 22 to 23. On that day, that's Judgment Day, the end, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? You know, didn't we do mighty works in your name? And I'll declare to you, I never knew you, begone from me, you evildoers. Claiming to have done amazing things in Jesus' name doesn't make you right before the Lord. Amazing spiritual acts don't make you right before the Lord. Even evil people do amazing things. Look at Matthew 24, verse 24, and 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10. There it says that false Christs and false prophets will do mighty works that will deceive even God's children. Jesus' point is, He knows who His people are, and just saying you're doing things in His name doesn't cut it. If you're separated from God because of your sin and do spiritual things and call them works of Jesus, that does nothing for you before the Lord. You can't trick Jesus, because Jesus knows the heart of a person. He knows the heart that belongs to Him, that are obedient to the Heavenly Father. Spinning some words doesn't do it. Salvation is about way more than making claims and saying the right words to Jesus. This is what John Stott says. We who claim to be Christians in our day made a profession of faith in Jesus privately in conversion and publicly in baptism. We appear to honor Jesus by referring to Him as the Lord or our Lord. We recite the creeds in church and sing hymns expressive of devotion to Christ. We even exercise a variety of ministries in His name. But He is not impressed by our pious or orthodox words. He still asks for evidence of our sincerity in good works of obedience. Acts of obedience confirm our profession of faith. An obedient heart worships Jesus as Lord and therefore confirms a profession of faith through obedience. Now, does this mean that words don't mean much, that we don't have to pay attention to our words? Not at all. Romans 10, verses 9 to 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Saying things about Jesus can't be discarded. It's required for salvation. Because our hearts and words, they are connected. We live for who is Lord of our hearts. Remember last Sunday, a good tree cannot grow bad fruit. A bad tree cannot grow good fruit. So what we say can be tested as true by looking at how we live our lives, our obedience. In Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? So this clearly implies that claims of faith will be accompanied by obedience to Jesus Christ, the Lord. The Lord, who is the one who determines who will enter the kingdom of heaven and who will be banished from it. The Lord. So true, genuine, verbal professions of faith will be accompanied by obedience. A genuine profession of faith will be proved by an obedient life. We must be talkers and doers together. And again, remember sanctification. We are not perfectly obedient, but Jesus is, and His perfect righteousness is applied to us, praise God. And we are being made more and more and more like Christ. And therefore, we are going to see how our words often don't match up with our obedience, with our living. For myself, I often have faith and trust in myself when I'm doing parenting, but not in God. And this is evidenced by I don't pray or I don't extend grace or be forgiving. I come up with my own methods of parenting and move forward, yet profess this faith in the Lord, yet live out this faith in Edgar. But I noticed this disobedience in me because of the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work in me. If the Holy Spirit wasn't sanctifying me, I wouldn't know about this work, and frankly, I wouldn't care about this work that God is doing in me. But the Holy Spirit is showing this to me, showing me how I'm not lining up, and showing me how to line up, be obedient to the Lord. I want my talking and obedience to line up and glorify the Lord, and it is happening because of the Lord. Jesus is calling us to be talkers and doers, and the Holy Spirit is making this happen for God's children. Verses 24 to 27 moves into Jesus kind of summing this up, that you can't just be talkers trying to say and sound right, but you can't just be hearers either. So verse 24 to 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Jesus wants his people to put into practice what they've heard from him. Hear him and do what he says. The same is said in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, which is deceiving yourself. So don't deceive yourself thinking you're good to go because you sit and listen. Take action. Do what you heard. And this is important for us today to take in and to think about, because we are in an age like never before. We have so much information available to us, and we are information junkies. We have so much info stored on our computers and our phones, info that we don't even look at. I get emails sent to me about electronic books that I can download, and I'm like, yeah, that's good. I got to download that one. I have a whole series of books that I've never looked at. I don't even know what's on my computer, but I'm gathering information. That's what I got to do, right? You got to gather information. And we probably all have examples of a family member or a friend who suffered a heart attack or has some other kind of medical condition, and they were instructed by their doctor to start living differently, start exercising, eating less garbage food. They have the info to get healthy, but what do? Nothing. They keep eating deep-fried chicken and fries with gravy. They are hearers and not doers. That's what this passage is about. Jesus breaks it down for us even more so that we can understand this better. And he gives the example of the houses. There's two houses. And notice that both look good in calm weather. But when a storm comes, the storm reveals the quality of the house. The storm reveals what can't be seen, the foundation. So house number one, the example of hearing the will of God and doing it. It's like a house that has been built on a rock. When it was time to lay the foundation, they dug down deep to securely put the house on something solid, something unmovable, rock. And when storms came with the rain and the wind beating against the house stayed standing. Why? Because the foundation was rock. But house number two, an example of hearing the will of God and not doing it, is like a house built on sand. When it was time to lay the foundation, they didn't dig down deep and set the foundation securely. They just laid the house on the sand. Sand that moves every time you step on it. Sand that gets stuck in between your toes. And when the storm came, the house did what sand does. It moves all over the place, and the house falls apart and crumbles. church, a hearer and doer of God's will, and just a hearer of God's will, can look very, very similar until storms come. And storms always come. John Calvin said that a genuine worshiper of God is hard to distinguish from a counterfeit worshiper until it comes to trials and suffering. Before storms and suffering and trials and troubles and persecution comes, the one who is built on the rock has already been immersed in God's Word, hearing it and living it out. They are in a real relationship with the Lord, hearing and doing, interacting, personally experiencing God's grace and God's goodness. And when storms come, God's children are expecting it. Why are they expecting it? Because God tells us to expect persecution, expect suffering. So they expect it, because the Bible says. And when the storm comes, they do what God wants them to do in a storm. They continue to live out God's Word. They glorify God. They hang on to God's promises. They stand on the truth of Scripture that God is over all and nothing can overcome Him. That He loves them and ultimately all things will work out. It is not comfortable. Storms are hard. But genuine worshipers of God take the beating of the storm. They don't run and hide or give up. They take the beating and stay standing for God, with God, because of God, because God is their foundation. The one who just hears, collects knowledge of God with no obedience, there's nothing there. There's no interaction. There's no relationship with the Lord. They're just a person who files information away about the Lord. They don't taste and see that the Lord is good. They don't build their faith in the Lord by trusting Him over and over and over again. And when a storm comes and starts beating them, they collapse. The storm reveals a foundation built on personal wisdom and trusting self. Zero faith and trust and worship of the Lord. Hearing and not doing God's will, that's fake faith. That's giving off the perception of being spiritual yet being dead. It's foolish. Storms will wipe them out. It's like the parable of the sower who tosses seed all over the ground, and some seed falls on shallow soil. It grows a bit, and then it's quickly snuffed out by the cares of the world. No roots, no foundation. Hearing and doing is relationship with the Lord. Just hearing, that's like entertainment. Oh, I want to hear some more. Oh, that's interesting. This is a radical demand from Jesus for submission and obedience exclusively to Jesus Christ the Lord. Anything else is rebellion. It's self-centered and characteristic of the wide road to hell. Intellectual knowledge, hearers of God's word, and verbal profession of faith, talkers, that's important, but only with obedience. Again, here's a quote from John Stott. The question is not whether we say nice, polite, orthodox, enthusiastic things to or about Jesus, nor whether we hear His words, listening, studying, pondering, memorizing until our minds are stuffed with His teaching. But whether we do what we say and do what we know. In other words, whether the Lordship of Jesus, which we profess, is one of our life's major realities. Church, those who truly hear the word of the Lord, hear the gospel, profess faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, will be obedient to the Lord. They won't just talk about their faith in God, or just sit and listen about faith in God. They will live out their faith in God by worshiping Him and glorifying Him through obedience to Him. And let me just close with these words. Let's have the music team come on up and get ready for a response song. But let me close with this self-examination that I think every single one of us needs to be doing so that we are not drifting, we're not coasting. We this morning are in a dangerous position. We read the Bible. We hear sermons from the Bible. We are hearers of God's Word. And by being a part of this church, we say we believe in Christ. So, we are hearers and sayers. We gain intellectual knowledge and profess faith in God. But are we doers of the will of the Heavenly Father? The doers are the ones that receive eternal life, because the doers are the real hearers and real professors of faith. They are the real worshipers of the Lord. So church, what is it going to be? Just a talker about Jesus and faith in Him? Just a person who comes on Sunday morning to sit and listen? Just hearers of God's Word? Or step up to what Jesus demands of every single one of His followers, which is to be a talker and a hearer and a doer of the Heavenly Father's will. Will you be a doer and a talker and a hearer? My hope is that all of us will be. That all of us will be. Because there is abundant life. Jesus said, I have come to give life and life in abundance. And life in abundance doesn't come by just saying, yes, Jesus is a good teacher. Or coming to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and just hearing sermons. That's not where abundant life is. Abundant life is in that relationship of hearing God's Word, surrendering to Him, doing His will, being in that real relationship with the Lord. There is abundant life, guaranteed. No matter if the storms come or not, there is abundant life. Jesus wants His kids to be standing up in the middle of the storm for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what He wants for us. And He doesn't promise that the storm is just going to come for a little bit and stop, and that's going to be the last storm. Storms are going to come, they're going to come, and they're going to come. And He wants us to stand. Because why? That brings glory to the Lord. Why is Edgar standing in the midst of all that junk that's happening in his life? I don't know why. It must be this religious thing. No, it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. He's standing on Jesus' word. He is an obedient worshiper of the Lord. That's why he stays standing. Who does not want to be targeted with that kind of a response? I do. We have storms going on right now in our lives that often I look at it and I go, I just want to go lie down in the back corner and ignore it and say, Lord, just be finished with this. I don't want this anymore. I can't do it. And then Scripture comes to mind and the Holy Spirit comes and ministers and says, listen, Edgar, when you're weak, I'm strong. It's good you're weak. I'm strong right now. Stand on my word. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust in yourself for parenting. Trust in me. Get up. get up. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. All authority is under me. You're in Christ. Church, that is the relationship that the Lord wants with us. And that is what He will provide. So come. Stop being a sitter on Sunday morning. Stop it. Stop being a talker. Stop it. Be a talker and a hearer and a doer. Be a doer. Let's pray. Lord, this is easy to